Podtacular episode 351, Fiesta, for March 7th, 2013. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm, and this week we're going to be looking at the latest and greatest Halo Bulletin, courtesy of BS Angel and Bravo, and Greg Bear this time, actually. So we're going to dive through that a little bit. As you guys have noticed, Brent is not here today. He was unable to make it. But we do have someone else that has been on the show quite a few times before, and he is Keith from The Running Riot.
Yay!
And I'm hoping I don't regret this decision for tonight.
Just by me saying yay?
No, because of what's happened during the pre-show.
But it's not anything you're not used to.
Yes, but it's something that I don't think these people are used to. We've grown a lot since you were last on the show.
Yes, you have. And I congratulate you.
Thank you.
From the bottom of my bowels.
That's an interesting place to congratulate from the bottom of, but thank you. All right.
Very well said.
Since it's been a while you've been on the show, give us a little update on what you've been doing in the Halo realm, if anything.
I really have been taking a spectator view, looking back at not only the Halo community, but gaming in general. So I really haven't been playing, but I've been paying attention to the community and Halo and whatever changes are in Halo 4 have been made. Just a lot of reading, but I have not been playing the game. There's a lot.
Blasphemy,
to that.
Sir. Blasphemy.
Yeah, I've been struggling with what that actually means, but it's a lot to do. I don't think it's anything to do with the game. It has to do with me. I feel like I'm definitely going through some kind of metamorphosis with gaming. Something's changing as far as what's interesting me or what kind of games I'm liking, the way the games are in the industry now, the way they're being delivered, is just not that it's, it might be overall working for developers, for some gamers, but it's not a knock. It's just right now, it just doesn't work for me right now. And I'm trying to figure that out.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Therapy session. Want to get on the couch?
No, we do not need to get on the couch. If you want to talk therapy or psychology, you want to talk to Goose Checka about that. That's not my area of expertise.
That would be awesome, but yeah. I should request her services for trying to figure out what's wrong with me. I don't want to say that. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm just going through changes.
Wait, are you going to be at PAX East?
No.
Oh.
But that I knew a long time ago. Yeah, I knew that since last year. I was just like, I'm going to take a break from going. I'm going to miss you guys. But I'm trying to decide where I'm going in the direction with that also. Either it needs to be a different event, because it's great seeing everybody, but I want to see everybody at a different type of event. Does that make sense? I've been to PAX three times, PAX East.
Right, but so PAX is more or less kind of a social aspect, really, when at least for a lot of Halo fans, it's just a time to go and see all those friends that you play with online, but you never really see face-to-face on a day-to-day basis.
Good point, but you know what I considered actually? Going without even going to PAX. Just go to the city.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, that's that's what I'm thinking, like, more just to go there. And I just looked in the chat. You said I'm old. Oh, my gosh. Is being in your 40s old?
I don't know. You said you were taking the back seat on gaming, so I was just saying that you were old.
It's not because I'm old why I'm taking a
break. I know.
Maybe
I know.
Actually, it's probably have a lot to do with that. as far as PAX is concerned, yeah, I mean, that's the point. Good point. As far as, yeah, it's definitely more about, you know, friends and seeing that stuff like that. It's just the show itself is, I have no interest. It's not that it's bad or anything. I just done it. I've been there, done that 3 times already. Like I said, if it was some other event,
but you'd be there, do it again. So you can
do a weekend where I can get out and do something. I want it to be something different. That's all. When you say you're going to come to the city in New York and, you know, do stuff and we meet up and everything, those things get me more excited than, you know.
I just think those gaming conventions is kind of like the calling cards to just hang out with other gamers, and
absolutely
you also have that side thing for $35 if you're just doing it one day, or $65, which isn't really much. That's one video game.
It's not the cost is not the thing, and more of the cost is obviously the getting a room, as we know how fun that is, trying to and getting, I mean, now you have to almost make your plans immediately after the PAX East from the year before, like the next week, or you don't get in, as far as getting a ticket or whatever. But even hotels, it's kind of crazy. It's the investment overall. It's the overall thing. For me, and this is just me, I understand, I agree, like, with, yeah, it's a great thing to see everybody, but I want it to be a different event, like someplace we've all never, not all of us have never been, but we've all never seen each other at, you know. And I've been, you know, it's just, that's just me. It's just the way I feel about it. As far as going to another gaming event, that's just me. It dried up for me. PAX East has, not the people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess so.
Don't you think there'll be other places we'll meet?
Yeah, but
I gotta save them. I don't have that many left in me.
You're only 40 years old.
I listen.
Despite me just calling you old,
right? I know you're going back. You're flip flopping on me. I know, but it's not that I'm super old. To do that, it's not even a matter of oldness. I don't feel old and not to do these things. It's more of just I don't have, as far as time to do a lot of these things, I don't have time to game that much anymore. I have to pick my moments, dude. I think you may have to be older to understand that. I wish I can do all the things. I wish I can go to South by Southwest. I would love to go there. I want to go to Austin. But if I go to PAX East and then I try to go to do another event, like I missed out on Halo Fest, because I couldn't do both Halo Fest and PAX East. So if I planned right, like I can't do both events. It's just not in my budget. It's not my time. I can do it away from the family. It's just, you know, that's not in the cards. So that's why.
Fair enough. Anyways, if you guys haven't caught on yet, I will be at PAX East.
Did you get a room yet?
I'm actually staying with the Griffball folks.
Nice. Where are they staying? At the
They have a place that they're staying with. I think they have a buddy out there.
A house?
Yeah, that they're just kind of like temporarily renting.
Good.
Renting out. So I'm going to be staying with them. It's Goose Check at Cal, and I think maybe a couple other the Griffball peeps.
Cool.
So yeah, I'll be out there for all 3 days, just kind of hanging out. Got my plane tickets, got that housing arrangement taken care of, so I will be there in the flesh.
Nice.
And luckily, I got my plane tickets cheap.
Nice.
So that was a nice thing.
Well, you've been planning ahead more and more as the year's gone with these things.
Yeah.
You always before a little last minute.
Well, I have all my my conventions planned out for the year. So I'm doing both PAXs, I'm doing RTX, and I'll likely be doing New York Comic Con again.
Are you going to get yourself, you got to get yourself the South by Southwest too.
Isn't that this weekend?
Yes. Or
that's not happening, dude.
Yeah.
That's not happening by any chance. The next convention that I would add to my list on top of those four would be SDCC, San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah. See, that'd what I'm talking about. Like, you're talking about going to all these things? Like,
so, PAX Prime and RTX Premier are going to be a must every year from here on out.
Right. Yeah, definitely. You got a PAX Prime at every Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I got the big invitation from 343 to do that one panel, and it's like, okay, well,
that's it. Yep, you're in.
That's home for Halo, and I know a good number of the 343 folks there, and that's where all the Halo peeps are going to come and gather.
Yep.
So it's if you're a big Halo fan, it's kind of a must to go to PAX Prime.
Yeah, I know, and I never went, so everybody's giving me crap.
Yeah, you got to rectify that, dude.
I will. I will be there once or maybe twice. I don't know. Just
hopefully more than once.
What?
Hopefully more than once.
Yeah. Well, what?
You gotta be there for like the big launches, dude.
There'll be something event. You know, there's gonna be an event that will happen. Not just, you know, Halo Fest. That's something that I still to this day regret, but There'll be other times. And that's kind of what I was trying to say before. There will be other times. Like, if I don't go to PAX East and all these other events, I want to see stuff and you guys at other events, not just PAX East. Because that's the only thing I was really going to. That and I've seen some at New York Comic Con.
Yeah. But that, in terms of like the big events to where people go, it's
the real one, ones everybody
it's one of the smaller ones. I didn't say it wasn't a real one. I just said it wasn't like one of the big ones. Like all the Comic-Con ones, people know San Diego Comic-Con. They don't know many of the other ones,
right?
Like I didn't even know there was a Baltimore Comic-Con.
I didn't know there was a Baltimore Comic-Con.
Yeah, there's a Baltimore Comic-Con. So yeah, San Diego Comic-Con is just the big one of the Comic-Cons that are around.
Yeah.
Even though they're not directly tied to one another, but
right. No, yeah. No, they're not. I don't even know if New York and
So you're basically kind of touching on with PAX what people have touched on with the way E3 has gone. It's gone from this kind of social aspect where fans can come.
No, I wasn't going there. No.
You were heading in that kind of direction. I don't think PAX is going to go as far as E3. I don't think PAX is going to be indoctrinated by corporations as E3 did, but it's getting to that fact where it's a little more...
It's getting more and more.
Yeah, it's getting more mainstream, I think is the word that kids use these days.
That's not why I'm not going. It's not because it's getting more corporate or anything like that, or more marketing. That's not why. PAX is still has that feel. It still has the community feel, without a doubt. And it's not, no matter what they do surrounding the show, you know, as long as they have that core stuff in PAX, then they'll be fine with that. They can add more marketing to it. As long as they keep the core, and they have. But that's not why I'm saying I'm not going. And but you'll never catch me in an E3. You'll never catch me in an E3 unless I was in the area at the time.
The only way I'd be going to an E3 is if 343 invited me because of Halo coming out that year.
Right.
That would probably be the only reason I'd go to an E3.
Me too. It would have to be, that would have to have to be wrapped up in there.
Right.
The reason why I'm not going to PAX is just because I've been to Boston even before PAX many, 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 many times. And I've been to PAX in two different arenas there, two different convention halls there. And it's more has to do with that. It's just the location. Like, I want to go somewhere else. That's all. I want to save my money and do it elsewhere. the way it's been changed commercially, you know, it's getting definitely get not commercially. What's the word? The gaming industry and marketing. It's gotten a little like that's how big it's gotten so big. But I don't mind that too much. It's you know, as long as it doesn't become like E3, which is ridiculous.
Right.
Unless you're a developer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just not my scene. I don't know.
Fair enough. To each his own.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get on to the bulletin, shall we?
Shall we?
So if you guys have seen the bulletin, you will notice a nice kind of new flow, new update to it. So it looks a lot more kind of cleaned up. Got some pretty little section graphics in there. Good little title graphic. You can thank the Dr. Mouse for that one. We know him a little bit.
Yeah.
So
that's him.
Yeah.
All right. Kudos.
I know he. It looks really good. I like the new dividers in there. It really adds kind of a spring to the bulletin. Gives a nice new fresh look and feel.
It does actually, with the whole thing with even this is even from Bungie, and the text, the small text, and you know, and the way they presented, and it the dividers actually are helpful.
I mean, it looked all right before, but this
jumping
just looks,
around actually, you know.
Yeah,
you
this one just looks a little bit sharper.
Yeah, I like it.
So the first thing in the bulletin, because we have the next book coming out within 2 weeks, is an interview with Greg Bear. He's the one that's been writing the Forerunner trilogy. That is Cryptum, Primordium, and Silentium. So I've read the first two books, Cryptum and Primordium, and I am eagerly anticipating Silentium because we get to see a little bit more behind, I believe, both the Didax. I'm not too sure, but we can also see some more stuff behind the planning of the Halos and kind of the downfall of the Forerunners. So it's going to be a very interesting book, and I'm really anxious to see how it ties in with the rest of the Halo 4 storyline.
I'm sure the expansion, because of the trilogy, is going to have lots of implications there.
Yeah. And this is kind of wrapping up too, because it's the last book of the trilogy, so it's going to be
the last book of
It's not going to be like probably the last book of Forerunners in all of
Halo. Of Greg Bear's little series here, yeah,
right.
But there'll be more books.
There's always going to be more books, but for this,
right. I get you. The trilogy within a trilogy within a trilogy.
Basically what I'm getting to is this is probably going to be the definitive story behind how the Forerunners fell, and it'll be probably a good half of what sets up the Halo 5 campaign.
Meaning we're going to find out more. You mean, so they're going to set up that the fall of the Forerunners, and we're going to learn about in Halo 5 more about that fall.
I think we're going to learn more about what they left behind and what the librarian did. Because if you guys have played through episode 10 of Spartan Ops, it's been 2 weeks, so I don't think we're in spoiler territory anymore. But the librarian handed Halsey the key, the two pieces of, I forget if there was the official name for it, but it's like a key that showed where all the Forerunner tech in the galaxy was. Ooh. So I have a feeling we're going to be kind of exploring those pieces. I don't know if we're going to see a second season of Spartan Ops. Everyone's rooting for it. Yeah, the Janus key. Thank you.
So that was, that doesn't come from me. That comes from...
Yeah, that comes from someone in the chat. X-Alice, X-Pieces.
X-Pialidocious?
No.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
X-Pieces. Ha 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 ha, very funny. So this is another good reason why we do live streams now, is because we can have people in the chat that help us out. So yes, the Janus key.
I know nothing about that, but go ahead.
Is see, it helps to play every now and then.
No, I know nothing about the live stream
chat
room thing. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, because you just happened to used to do it before, but now you don't anymore, so you're kind of behind. So, yeah, you wouldn't know.
No.
I'm kidding.
Check.
I'm kidding.
You're starting with me.
Hey, I have to, right?
Yeah, you do. I love it.
Anyways, there's a big interview with Greg Bear about the Foreigner saga on the Bulletin, so I believe there's 7-8 different questions that he gets asked about what's his favorite part of Halo 4, how did he develop some of the backstory behind the trilogy. There's a question in here where they ask him how he kind of envisioned the architecture and the environments that he's writing in, and then he kind of written in the response that he was just kind of amazed that he was imagining that in his head, and then seeing it come out in a produced format with Halo 4 was just kind of something cool to see.
That must be amazing when you
that
write
has to
something.
Be one of those cool things that, yeah, where you write it and then you see it come to life and it's like, wow.
Well, is it that
I inspired
moment?
That
yeah, I mean, was it also that moment like he looks at it and is like, that was nothing what I was thinking in my head. Like, it was the way the Didact's head looks. Like, does that exactly the way he portrayed it in the book? I mean, I'm sure the artists, when they did that, they had to, you know, take a look and, you know, match it. But you still have a vision in your head that, you know, doesn't form until, like, until somebody draw, you know, unless you're not, you know, drawing it. Like, that must be amazing.
Right.
You know, the look of something.
And the other, I mean, on the flip side of that, too, is it might not be as amazing, but as a reader, having, and this is one of those things I find really amazing about reading, but even though I'm a horrible reader, like, I'm really slow, mm-hmm. I'm a really slow reader, and I can get stuff if I take my time with it, but imagining those environments in your head, and then when they actually get produced into something like a video game or a movie, seeing what other people's interpretation of it is and seeing how close to your envisioning of it is.
Right.
And most of the time they're similar, but there's other times where it's like, I would have never thought of it that way, but it makes sense.
Well, that's the thing about reading, though. That's what they say. It's like you create your own world from what you're reading, and you can't, you know, when you watch a movie, you know, it's what they're presenting to you. You have to create a world out of that. But when you have just words on a paper and they create this world, you create it to visualize it in your own head. And that's where people get off on reading, you know?
Mm-hmm. There was one other question in here that I was really interested in, if I can find it real quick. It was about Riser. So Riser is one of the humans that we encounter in the first book, Cryptum, and it was actually inspired by hobbits, believe
hobbits.
It or not.
Poor hobbits.
So I found that really interesting because I did not quite envision Riser as a hobbit. I figured he was more kind of like, I guess Schmeagol was a hobbit at one point, right?
He was a form of a hobbit. He wasn't a...
Yeah. So I imagine Riser, like, looking like a hobbit, but having the stature of Schmeagol, like the hunched over,
but taller. They're not that
yeah,
miniature.
Hunched over, a little bit taller.
Hobbited.
Very hairy, but yeah. So,
Toro.
I found it interesting that it was based off of hobbits. It's amazing how sci-fi worlds collide. I guess Lord of the Rings is more fantasy than sci-fi, but close enough.
I guess. Yeah, it's more fantasy, but...
Yeah, it's more fantasy.
I mean, yeah. I mean, but you think everybody, you know, is especially into gaming and sci-fi or all seen the same things.
Mm-hmm. They're very closely related, but fantasy has that magic element to it where sci-fi does not.
Is that what they're saying? Because I don't even...
Well, so that's my kind of interpretation of distinguishing fantasy from sci-fi.
Well, I've never looked up the definition of sci-fi
fantasy.
But...
So Alice's piece says Forerunner magic, and that's just advanced technology. If you look at technology, like if you were to look back in the 1800s and they saw you turn on a light bulb with a switch, yeah, they would think it's magic too. There's a fine line though between the fantasy and sci-fi, and I believe when we had, I don't know if we actually talked about when we had Goose Checka on or not, but they definitely mentioned it on the Hubcast, where they were talking about how Halo 4 kind of enters the realm into fantasy in some aspects, where some of it's not thoroughly explained in the campaign.
You mean like this? Okay, so you're pulling the science out a little bit, and where are we getting? Like, I think from the start, it's fantasy. That's the whole thing. That's what I think leads to a lot of the arguments, or at least the controversies, or whatever you want to call them, or the Recton, or the canon, you know, all the stuff that starts to get crazy with, you know, how is this even possible science-wise? And once you get a science head wrapped around a fictional universe, it's just that's why I like to look at it as fantasy right from the start. I mean, well, who's to say, like the Forerunner magic and all this stuff that I'm hearing about, who's to say, like, as far as when your technology gets so far advanced that, you know, like you said, with the flick the light bulb and all of a sudden it comes on. I mean, it can very easily be believable, and that's what I think. Everybody wants to believe it in a science world when you're a sci-fi fan.
But right.
I don't know. This can definitely be taken that far. How far? I mean, it's the fantasy world. This is sci-fi fantasy, I think, has definitely come from the start.
So I never really have the feeling of fantasy with Halo ever since day one. And there's parts of it in Halo 4 where I could see the argument for fantasy being applied, but for me personally, I'd still consider it sci-fi, or maybe I'm just ignorant to the fact that I want to consider it sci-fi.
I don't know. I guess,
which is possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can. I mean, it's not like, you know.
I mean, but there is a clear distinction between Lord of the Rings being fantasy. I mean, you have elves and magic and stuff like that. It's clear as day that that's fantasy. And then you have Halo, which is supposed to be a futuristic shooter. And there are very scientific elements in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they try to have explanations for them.
Right.
Too. Right. Meanwhile, in something like Lord of the Rings, like when Gandalf, you know, farts and fairy dust comes out of his there's no explanation. Sorry, I just lost it a little bit.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I'm trying to bring myself back now. I'm trying to calm down. Hmm. It's just been a while since I podcast. I got to remember where I am too. I'm at Botacular.
for those that are in the live stream, you got to hear the uncensored version of Keith. But though, those listening to the show, yeah, sorry.
No bleep over that. Like, you wouldn't know what I said, but.
Yeah, right. Any person with any common sense will know what you said, but.
It's for the kids. So in that sense, like, you don't need much explanation in it when it's a fantasy, like Lord of the Rings or other fantasy. You know, you don't need that explanation. In sci-fi, you need the explanation. Like, for example, I'm looking at the bulletin right now, and you have the didact, his mask keeps flipping on his face. You know, it just keeps hovering above, like. That's obviously technology thing. It's not magic like he's doing that. There's a technological reason why he's able to do that.
Right.
You know? But
so one of the things I've heard is how Cortana was able to project her form into the hard light bridge.
Oh,
that's been one argument I've heard in terms of Halo 4 is entering that fantasy realm.
Yeah, well, that's if anything,
I could see there possibly being an explanation. I mean, she has been exposed to a lot of Forerunner tech in the last, so she was constantly exposed to it for a good, I want to say, 3 months between the events of Halo 1 and Halo 3?
It could be that simple, too.
Yeah, I mean, she's a freaking smart AI. She was based off of a flash clone brain of Dr. Halsey, which is probably the smartest person alive to date. So, yeah, it's I can see it as a possibility, but that doesn't sit well with a lot of people. The fact that Cortana was able to do that.
Here's the thing that I don't know if, like I said, we haven't, as far as I don't know if you guys talked about this before, the whole defining thing that makes this with Cortana, the UNSC, the Forerunners and everything that's happening, that's panning out now, and how this story sounds like the thing that kind of stuck out to me, what was said in Halo 4 was when the librarian was saying to the chief, we planned a lot of this all along, as far as we eventually knew that like someone like the chief would come about and all that stuff, makes me, when you say something like that, that makes a lot of like, Cortana being able to do all those things, that makes it like, as far as a storytelling element, like it makes it easy to explain all those things.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't like that.
I know.
It was dropped that quickly.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's that kind
it
of
is, it. It kills that sense of mystery for a lot of people. Well, that's another big thing I've heard is that Halo 4 rips back the curtains of a lot of things behind the Halo universe that was mysterious, and it just dumps it in your lap.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I think that was their intent actually. With the Forerunner trilogy, is that this trilogy, the Reclaimer trilogy, excuse me. Ooh, wow.
The games are the Reclaimer trilogy. The books are the Forerunner trilogy.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. It's a little confusing. I don't blame you.
Yeah. But this is, I think, what it's meant to do. We're supposed to actually get to finally get more details on the Forerunner. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the point, I think. I think that's what 343 is doing. I think that's what Frankie is doing. I think Frankie is leading that charge. And Frankie and obviously all the other people at 343 and some community people there and all the story mavens there that are, doing their Halo. They're doing all the stuff that, that was kind of, yeah, you're right. It was all the stuff that you kind of liked having to being a mysterious. And now it's just, everything's just open.
Well, like, for me, while the game was...
There's no more mystery, actually.
Yeah. And for me, while the game was... It had that complex feel and really deep meaning to it, it dumped a lot of content just from the story and conceptually about the Halo universe that...
Right. I mean, they're not enough... They maybe should have left some more to mystery and not...
Yeah, I think...
So much.
I think they should have been a little bit easier on how much they actually released... In the game.
I have to agree with that.
And I think that's mostly due to part that this is 343's first big game.
Yeah.
And of course we've seen that from issues with the war games side of things too.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe they have more to reveal. Maybe there's...
I don't doubt that they have more to reveal in the games, and it may be something where they had to get that much content out to stage for Halo 5 and Halo 6, but right. If that's the case, you should still be able to plan as an efficient timeline where you can cover everything you want to over a trilogy.
Right, right. Well, maybe there's an astronomical amount of stuff they want to talk about.
Well, so if there is, and it, depending on like how much they want to reveal, and you can't reveal too much at in one game.
Well, let me say this.
You just get overwhelmed.
Well, let me say this though. What's the biggest mystery in when we were playing the Halo trilogy? before Halo 4? What was the biggest mystery?
Who were the Forerunners?
Right.
Now why are these Halos gone. Here?
Now that's gone. We know almost everything about the Forerunners now.
There's, not in terms of the games.
Not in terms of the games.
We did with the books, yes.
The books and everything gave us all their backstory, why we're here, why we're at this point, why the Didact's so angry.
Why so, 343 still has to cater to those folks that don't read the books. They need to be eased into it a little bit more so than people that do read the books. And for people that read the books, it should be an enhancing experience. It shouldn't be something where the reading is required in order to get all the bits and pieces in the game.
Right. They definitely just stepped in that area where they're doing, like, it's you have to actually augment your gaming experience outside of the game. Yes. Without a doubt. They definitely stepped in that area. I guess for us, people like us, that's not. I'm not reading anymore that much. I have my. I use the Halo community to provide me with information. Now. I don't really. I'm sorry, but I'm definitely, like I said, I was as far as being a spectator now. There is an army of people can feed me information now about the Halo universe. I don't even have to play anymore.
You're a leecher. You're a freaking parasite.
I am totally a parasite, and I'm proud of it.
Oh. What
I worked hard to get here. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, and I worked harder.
You did.
I was the one that got invited to the panel. Ew!
You pulled that card out?
I did pull that card. Yeah,
just pulled that out.
And wait, you got invited, but you said no, I believe?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I didn't say no. I wasn't invited.
Oh, okay. Still. Ha. Ha. Anyways, back to the bulletin. Silentium comes out on March 19th, which is 12 days from this recording, so just under 2 weeks. I have my order pre-copied. It's coming in the mail via Amazon, I believe. It's going to be delivered on March 19th. Yay. I'm still reading through Glasslands, though, so... I will be finished with Glasslands by the time I get Silentium, but that means I still have Thursday War to read, so I'm not sure if I'm going to pause on Thursday War and read Silentium first, or if I'm going to do Thursday War and then read Silentium. So I haven't quite decided yet. For the matchmaking playlist update,
yes.
We are getting a new playlist, and it's going to be Team Action Sack. So this for all you guys that want the fun game types, this is the one for you. This is going to be a team playlist. It's going to be 4v4 with lots of explosions and other non-traditional game types and settings. So if you remember Action Sack or Rumble Pit from Halo 3 and Halo Reach, it's going to be something along those lines.
Nice. The Fiesta? No, Action Sack. Sorry.
Action Sack. No. Yeah, Fiesta, we'll get to that in a second.
Yes, I'm sorry. The Fiesta, I can't wait.
Yeah, so within this playlist, there's going to be some other things that are going to be rolling down the road here, and they list off four of them that really pique my interest to start with. The first one is Binary Slayer. So think of LaserCast 2.0. If you've played Halo 3 extensively back in the day, then you are very well familiar with a custom game type known as Laser Cats. And it's basically 300% speed.
What?
Yeah, 300% movement speed, 150 to 200% jump height, low gravity, and it's madness.
I love it.
It's a lot of fun. And actually, for our Wacky Wednesdays yesterday, I quickly made a Laser Cats 2.0 just so to try it out, because Ragnarok is pretty much the remake of Valhalla from Halo 3. And they're like, oh, this is a fun custom. I can go and create the game type real quick and throw it out. So I did Spartan Lasers as primary and Binary Rifles as secondary. So, and it was a lot of fun. The challenge was actually getting a kill with the laser instead of the Binary Rifle, because Binary Rifle, you have the lasers that go across and you...
Yeah.
It's like trying to dodge them and then...
Such a
moving gimmick. Around at such a high speed, and the other thing was people were trying to get snapshots with the binary rifle. So it was interesting. It worked very well. It turned out a lot a lot better than I originally hoped, and everyone loved it. So I think that's going to be something we're going to do custom games from now on. But there's going to be an official LaserCats 2.0, and I actually tweeted just this last night when the bulletin came out, and she confirmed that, yeah, it's basically a LaserCats 2.0. So if you played LaserCats on Halo 3, just imagine that with binary rifles instead of Spartan lasers. So that's going to be lots of fun. There's going to be thruster packs as well. So I have a feeling
I like that thruster
that kind of the ability that you have whenever you're playing in flood mode. That thruster pack, the one you can shoot all the way across the map, I have a feeling it's going to be that kind of thruster pack, not the wimpy one that pushes you maybe 5 feet across some
distance. That one too, though.
I'm not a big fan of the thruster pack.
I think it's,
I like it for things, flood.
What?
I do like it for flood. It's very practical for flood when the infected have that armor ability.
It's a playing style thing.
Yeah. I'm a jetpack person, as I think about 50% of the Halo population is.
Jetpack, really? You mm-hmm. think 50%?
There's a lot of people that play with jetpack.
In Halo 4?
Mm-hmm. Not 50%. Maybe not 50%, but I think if you look at stats, I have a feeling jetpack would be the top one, the top majority.
Nice. So, but I know in Reach it wasn't that much.
No, because, I mean, Sprint.
Sprint was definitely 99%.
Yeah. Sprint was the armor ability that should have been built in to begin with. And now they have it built in for Halo 4, so.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Funny.
The next one that they have listed, and these aren't coming out in the playlist immediately. There's something they're going to be rolling down the line. That includes the binary slayer that I just read off. But the next one that they have listed is Lightning CTF. So this is kind of like paintball CTF. So your starting weapon is a light rifle, and it's one shot, one kill on anywhere on the body.
One shot, one kill.
Yeah, so it's basically like CTF paintball. And that's going to be, and all these are going to be under Action Sack, by the way. Also, flag carrier is going to be able to keep the light rifle out when running the flag, which is going to be interesting. So you don't have to flag them. You're actually going to be backpacking the flag like you were able to in Reach. Very interesting. The third one that they have is one I'm really, really excited for. It's rockets and rails. Instead of rockets and shotguns, it's rockets and rails.
I didn't know you like rockets.
Yeah, you know I love rockets.
I'm supposed to know that?
Yeah. You've played with me enough to know I love rockets, and I guess you haven't played enough with me because you haven't played Halo 4 that much, but I love the railgun.
I'm talking about Halo in general.
The railgun is my favorite weapon. My favorite weapon in Halo 4.
Is it really that good?
Oh, it's so... I love it.
How's that railgun? I don't think I've ever picked it up in a multiplayer game.
Let's just put it this way. Just about every time I pick up the railgun, I either hit 3 or 4 out of all 4 shots available.
Nice.
I'm good at it. That's no wonder you love railgun. It just has that
satisfying...
Whenever you shoot it, you charge it up and you send that rail along... Or the projectile, and then it hits and it has that small explosion, but it's such a satisfying feeling that you were able to target that guy from that way across and having a projectile that's not as fast as a sniper, but it has that just threatening kick to it.
But guess what?
So satisfying.
Guess what? You probably won't ever see it again, Ed, because you like it so much. when a weapon is that good, like it's so good, and it makes you...
Well, I mean, not everybody likes it.
No,
It's not a fan favorite for everybody, but it's at least not from what I've heard.
So it's one of those weapons. Like, there's a weapon that
those weapons
you and a small bunch are really good at, and you like it, and you have success with it.
Right, it's one of those off weapons that not many people use, but weapons. For those that know how to use it,
exactly,
use it effectively, it's just like
weapons
oh,
I love
so
in Halo.
Good. That does not count for the bolt shot, you bunch of noobs.
No, I don't know. You know what? Weapon I was actually good at, that's kind of like that. The what was the in Halo 3, the brute shot shotgun pistol.
Oh, the Mauler.
Is that what it was called? Oh my god!
Yeah, that was
like
the Mauler
ages ago. Yes, I was great at that. double. It had to be dual wielded. But for some reason, I was better than that with than the shotgun. The mauler, right? It is the mauler. I was better than that at the shotgun. Thank you, Mixoplex.
I told you what it was.
What?
I told you what it was. I knew it was a mauler.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you did say that.
Yes, I did. But so I'm gonna take a moment here. But I think I've said this on the show before. The bolt shot should have been exactly like the mauler.
Right, right. Oh, you've said that before, really? Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Like that, the secondary shot on that weapon should have been the range of the mauler. You can get a one-shot kill with the mauler on standard game types, not the MLG where you see it used a lot, but the standard game type, you have to be within like 3 feet of the guy. Like all the projectiles from the mauler have to hit him, but you can still get a one-hit KO. And that's what it should have been for the bolt shot. I think with the fast pace of Halo 4, the 15 feet that they've changed it to in the title update is better. It's a lot better.
Right.
But still, that's way too far.
It's so fast.
For something that you spawn with. So, end rant. But yes, Rockets and Rails is going to be one I'm going to love. I'm happy. The final one they have listed is Team Fiesta. So I'm sure you guys probably know what Team Fiesta is going to be. It's you spawn with random weapons, and it's usually just all-out action sack like Slayer. So that's going to be that's always fun to play. It's one of those
Fiestas.
Yeah, Fiesta is always one of those that if you're going in with some people that aren't as good at Halo, or if you're just going in to have a fun time, Fiesta is one of those game types where you're in there only to have fun. You're not in there as a prime. Now, I mean, of course you want to win, but that's not your primary focus. Your primary focus is just have a wacky, crazy time in Halo.
It's not the most. It's never been the most popular playlist in any of the Halo games prior. But I know I've liked it. It seems to. But even though it's not the most popular, it sticks around because, I don't know, it's a nice fallback. And, you know, it also gets – it's a nice testing ground, too. You get to learn a lot about the weapons in various situations. You have no choice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think there should always be a Fiesta.
Yeah, just for any Halo from now on.
Absolutely.
There needs to be a Fiesta, but I would also argue the same thing that there needs to be a race. Because, we had race in Halo 1.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's another community out there based on that.
There's more than just one community out there based on racing.
Communities, yes. Absolutely. No. Absolutely. There's communities obviously built with the race, but as far as, how it was from Halo 1 on and stuff... and how you were able, they added it to the Forge, but nothing. But it was, you know, support it in the playlist also is what I'm saying. It's, you know, it's built into the game. But actually, is it built into Halo 4? Is there any Forge racing type of?
No.
No?
No. So They've had to use King of the Hill. And the way you do is you have to set up the hill in such a way where the person is in that hill for at least a second, so you get that second in the hill.
Wow. Oh, how did race work in Halo 1?
So click. Halo 1 race. Yeah,
no, I know
so,
how.
I saw the question, but yeah.
Yeah.
Alice's Pieces wants to know how it worked in Halo 1. So for Halo 1 race, it basically worked exactly like it was in Reach, except there is the set points around the map, and you can't change it. Like, each map has its own default layout of race objectives that you just go around, and you go around in order, and you can do laps. It's usually 3 laps that you do per race, and those checkpoints were based on what person was going to. So it's pretty much the exact same thing as it was in Reach, except the checkpoints were a certain diameter around the waypoint that you're given, and other than that, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was very simple.
Mm-hmm.
But that's...
It was a lot of fun.
Back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Simple can be fun.
Mm-hmm. So that's how racing worked for Halo 1. And I would like to see it back. I think that's the one game type that has the most push behind having a new or having a game type brought back into Halo. Like the people definitely want the assault game type back, but there's a greater push for having race back in the game.
I'm sure there's a lot of other things that are missing. Hold on a second.
Really? Yeah. Mr. Podcaster?
No, that was my ringtone.
Claim to be podcaster? Yeah, you silence your phone while you podcast.
Sorry, you're right. You're absolutely right. I usually don't get calls.
Tisk, tisk.
I'm an old man. Don't get calls at this time.
So hopefully race is brought back. They also say...
Race.
Yeah.
I don't see it as the highest priority.
If you look out there, if you're listening, that's one of the biggest requests to be brought back as race. Oh yeah.
Is it bigger than the on-screen rank type of thing going on over that there?
No, I'm talking about game types. I'm not talking about features. I'm talking about game types.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No. Yeah, game features. Yeah, that's a whole other big list of things.
That's a whole other podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't want me on that podcast.
I mean, you can go just about anywhere, even the Waypoint forums, you can find probably a thread within minutes of someone wanting something in the game.
Yeah, I would like to be on the podcast that, I don't know if I would like to be, but the podcast that for the arguments for having the on-screen
rank
in the game. I want to be convinced that it's a good thing. I may need to hear it in a podcast to be convinced.
Like, I'll touch on that really brief, but I don't want to go into too much detail about
it.
Okay,
I don't know that.
We will address it when we do a podcast about the CSR.
Right.
But basically the thing is, the reason why the rank was so popular in Halo 3 is because you were able to instantly match yourself up against other players' skill. And when you were in-game, it's like, okay, if this person is better than me, then you don't feel as bad for losing. And if it's not better than you, then it's like, well, you're
play harder?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely more competitive.
Okay. It gets your competitive juices flowing.
Right.
Okay. This is what I'm talking about. It might be that simple for me. I might just actually be like, yeah, what's the big deal?
Well, and while you can definitely look it up on your Waypoint, people aren't going to be wanting to go back and forth between their computer screens and looking up everybody that's in their party before the game starts, because, I mean, you really don't have enough time to do that.
Right.
And then going back to your console, it's easy. It's best to have it all just right there in front of you.
Yeah. Okay. That's actually, I agree with that too. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's what I think I needed to hear in that, the way you just put it, actually. Not the way they're putting it online, the way they're, maybe I'm just not, it. I needed to hear it from a voice. But no one said it like that, kind of. Like they need to go back and forth and look at it.
Oh my gosh, I solved the world's problems. Ah!
Yeah. here's the thing, though. They're going to make, when you put these things in the game, they're going to put it for the most, for what appeals to the most gamers. There's obviously, as far as how many people are competitive and want that in the game, I think it's, isn't it big as far as how many people want that?
The competitive community has been begging for this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been begging for the skill rank.
Well, it's a big part of the Halo community. It's pretty big. Yeah.
Having the skill rank to begin with is a big step for 343. It is a step in the right direction, but
doesn't it look like they tried something? I think they tried to take it out to see if they can take out, you know, the cheating and...
Yeah, but then there's the whole mentality, is it too little too late?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think for Halo 4, it was more kind of a learning experience for 343, and I think in Halo 5... we're going to see a big explosion in production value for the game. I think we'll see something like a jump to Halo 2 or Halo 3 in Halo 5. I think we're going to see that kind of jump for that game. And plus, it's going to be on a new console. So there's even going to be more power to power more capabilities.
Right. Yeah.
So let's move on. Finish up the matchmaking section. Bravo says they are finalizing their FFA playlist, so that means they're probably going to have that finalized. I guess within the month is they'll have that playlist all ironed out. If you guys have any kind of action stack type games that you want to submit, they do have a thread over in the War Games section that you can post your game type and feedback on any of the game types that they're proposing for this action stack playlist. So definitely check that out if you're interested. They have a fan question of the week in here, which I think is somewhat important. So I'm going to go ahead and read it out here. And it's from Dr. Dorado. He writes to 343. When do we get some info regarding the BTB objective? My clan has been waiting since launch. Please, some info. I think this is Bravo probably answering. If not, it's definitely BS Angel, one of the two. They are working on ways, kind of thinking up of what game types would be best, doing all the testing into what maps are going to be most likely favorites for people, kind of incorporating that large party aspect in its objective. So they're working on it. Still no time frame of when that's actually going to be put out.
Waiting on the BTB.
Yep. So we have Big Team Slayer right now, but there's definitely no Big Team objective. Except if you do customs.
A lot of the stuff is, this is such a new beginning with this. So it is like Halo 1 in a way, like as far as features, not there. It's just
so
right.
It's tough because you are dealing with a franchise that's has been established as a AAA title like Halo.
Yeah.
And then you have a new gaming development company, 343, and you're trying to merge the two.
I just want to give them a hug.
Well, maybe if you came to PAX,
I've given them hugs there, and I've yeah, congratulated them and told them, oh my God, how, yes, yeah, you are doing. And I'm not the only one who's told them that, obviously.
Right.
They don't need to hear it from me. But you got definitely people in the industry who are saying, are you guys crazy? Sorry. All right. Sorry. Are you guys crazy? Like, wow. It's amazing that what you guys are doing. The industry is looking at 343 right now as what you guys are doing. You guys are brave. Like, they wouldn't do this. Wouldn't do this. They wouldn't take a chance like this. I mean, they're talking about the people in the studio. Of course, Microsoft throws the money in there and they're going to do it. And they put the team together. Still, it's just, you still have to be brave to do that job in there. The pressure. I can't imagine.
Right. Well, and you have to look at how much pressure from the community. Because Halo is one of those, you have to look at the community of Halo to understand how Halo works. That Halo's main driver is the community.
Oh, yeah.
Just look at all the different kinds of clans out there, all the podcasts that are out there for Halo. You don't see, like, I did a search for Call of Duty podcasts, and I did not find one that has been consecutively running past 50 episodes
like that.
That's still going.
I would never even do a search like that.
Well, I was curious.
I'm curious too, but
as a podcaster, I kind of feel it's my job to see what other first-person shooters have out there in terms of community content. And in terms of the podcast scene for Call of Duty, it's non-existent.
Well, that's the reason. That's exactly why I didn't do the search, because I have that feeling that there's not.
Well, is there a difference between feeling and knowing?
Well, now I know.
Yeah.
I felt it, and you confirmed it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But back to 343. You have to think about the expectations that the community has for a game. And while 343 did a very good job for what they were given in the time frame that they had to do it in, and for it being their first game as a company, they did a pretty good job. It's just that they did it with Halo. Out of all the titles they did it with, out of one of the most successful IPs out there, they messed some key things up that has actually kind of hurt them in the end.
Well, how much?
And quite a bit. I wouldn't say it's huge, but it's definitely a significant impact. I wouldn't say it's substantial, but there are people, even Halo, like big Halo community leaders, that have stepped away from Halo 4 because they can't play it anymore. And I'm not going to listen to you on the show.
Right.
Because, I mean, well, I respect their opinions.
I'm one of them, but it's not because of Halo 4, but...
Right.
It's not because of what they did, actually. It's like I said earlier, it was just because of what I'm going through.
Right.
But yes, I do understand. Absolutely. Look who we're in touch with. We definitely, as far as the community is concerned, as far as the... who's the core people who are going to be the most critical. You know, we're not tooting our own horns here, but we're just also just like, I mean, this is where we live and breathe, and we try to get in deep in as the community as possible. I mean, we're just talking about where we go. We go to the PAX, so we dive into the community. I mean, we're going to hear all that, and it's going to be, but they're still there. They're still there. I do agree that this is going to be, it's a put off, but it's a natural put off. I think it's going to take some time.
Yeah. But for people that were really excited and really pumped up for Halo, it missed.
It's going
to
miss.
Well, so it didn't quite miss. It hit, but it only got to first. Maybe second base. It didn't hit a grand slam by any means.
I was surprised that it got to first base. It never usually does. I mean, how taken over like here's a good example, the J.J. Abrams. Could you imagine the Star Wars taking over? Could you imagine what's going to be like?
I'm personally not a huge follower. I mean, yeah, I've seen all the Star Wars movies. I've seen Star Trek.
Just a general fan of fantasy, sci-fi, whatever you want to call it. Could you, of a universe, could you imagine that?
No.
Could you imagine what's going to happen there? When that comes out, compare that experience or all the stuff that you're going to see and all the press and all the media, that compared to what happened with 343 did with Halo. I think it's obviously not a direct comparison. It's a different form of media. But as far as the size of a universe taking over, it's going to be hell on Earth.
I wouldn't go that far, but
not hell, but it's gonna be rough. The seas are gonna be crazy. There's no way they gotta sail a ridiculous seas right now with the Halo community that's so feverishly loving its fiction. It was from any developer too. It's Bungie, for Christ's sake. Bungie has already had a ridiculous following.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with that, they made a fantastic game, and it started with Halo 1. Halo 2 was a big improvement. Halo 3 was an even bigger improvement. Halo Reach, some people would probably say it was kind of a step backwards in some aspects.
Is this what
we're supposed
to talk about in this podcast?
No, but we have these tangents every now and then. Yeah, and I mean, it's Halo related, so people like this kind of stuff.
Ooh.
It's the simple fact is, on one side you have Halo and its established franchise with Bungie, and it's been given over to a new company. And on the other side, you have a new company that's 343 Industries. And when you put the inexperience of a team with a well-developed franchise, it's either going to be great or it's going to be mediocre to horrible. And thank God that Halo 4 was not horrible.
It was mediocre.
It was mediocre at best.
I'm going to go with the mediocre rating.
I am hopeful that they're going to take the feedback, because they've already taken feedback from the community very, very well, and they've applied it as best they can. I mean, we had the title update. The biggest thing I've seen that they've really reacted to the community is what they did for the second half of Spartan Ops Season 1. They took the feedback of Spartan Palmer saying egghead so much and wanting to see her in some action, and then the what they did with the play spaces, all new play spaces, with some of them reused, but they made them in such a way it seemed like a fresh new experience. The gameplay was interesting. The cinematics were just really well done in terms of story and execution. And then they listened to the Spartan Ops community that was really involved there. And now we've seen what they've done with the title update for War Games. So I have faith in 343 that they're listening to the community.
Yep.
And that they're definitely going to take all the feedback that they got from Halo 4, from what they missed, and taking what they now know as people expect this in the game from now on. All these things that we didn't include, now those are musts. So I am very hopeful that 343 is going to take that feedback and incorporate it into Halo 5 and going to make just the best Halo game in Halo 5.
They're going to do their very best. They're going to take all the feedback. They're going to take the things that worked and the things that number-wise worked, what most people liked. But they will also throw in the community flavor. They're going to do all, you know, they're going to take it, definitely take it all in consideration. They have the nice, they have all the nice, they did a nice job in bringing the community over from Bungie to 343. It was a great enough, I think it was a nice enough community to easily do that. I mean, it's not like we had a community that was like full of people who just like, you know, they were, you know, there was a community that was a community, like they wanted to be one. I think most of them, most people have welcomed 343 with open arms. There's a few. But the only thing I have to say about all that is it's going to come down to numbers. The Halo community what's a good word for it? Not the inner circle. I don't like to say that.
I know what you're talking about.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like that core group of Halo community leaders.
The core of, you know, just people who are, you know, they're people who, I'm not one of them anymore. If that core were just like, no, we don't like this, and to back out, Halo will still go on.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
There's even members of that core that dropped out.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know.
I mean, that's how much ground Halo 4 shook with people.
They could bring them back, though.
Yeah, they can, but they have to bring him back in Halo 5, or else it's not gonna work.
You're
kind of given that one game forgiveness. That's kind of the general consensus. It's like, okay, they messed up on this one. They can bring it back in the next one. Halo 5 has to be good.
Has to be a grand slam. That's the point you're making here. Oh, so if Halo 5 doesn't bring back
that's
some
not
of the,
that's not the point I was making, but it is an effect of the point I was making.
No, all right. Okay.
My point, and so I'll wrap this up.
Go ahead.
Out of all the points, here's another one of the big points that I'm taking from this.
Somebody actually said
3-for-3
in the chat room, but
3-for-3 has had the heart going into the game, but they didn't have the experience from making games in the past to make the Halo game that the masses would enjoy.
Right. That's what they're making.
Right.
The masses. It's numbers. It's been about numbers. That's why you think they bought the brand.
But they didn't quite hit the numbers, though.
No, they didn't.
So.
Yes, we can all hope. And Halo is still it. And Halo is great. I mean, I'm a big Halo fan, and I love everything about it. I don't think I'll ever be. But what do you think this was going to go? I think everybody needs to prepare themselves a long time ago that this was going to happen. So that's all.
But it's not something that you want to see happen to a franchise that has been that well developed.
It's going to help it to. It's going to happen to every franchise out there. I've said this for years to you. It's going to happen to every franchise.
You're preaching to the choir with me, buddy. it's the other people that are listening that we're talking this to.
Oh, is that who we're talking to? I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah, we're just providing the discussion.
Agreeing with me, though.
Well, that means we have smart listeners.
Yeah, that's right. That's they came out for me. Thank you, guys.
Oh boy.
Yes. Yeah, so, big head.
Yeah, Mr. I Don't Podcast Anymore. Anyways, that wraps up the bulletin.
That was a shot.
Yes, out of many. They do have a new screenshot section at the bottom now that they actually have the web version of the file share up and operational. So check those out. There's some pretty cool ones there. I am debating about starting a little screenshot thing of our own. I'm not sure if we're going to have something like a caption contest or just best screenshot, but I'm going to go ahead and put this out there, and I'll remind everyone at the end of the podcast. Whenever you take a screenshot, and if you upload it, tag it Podtacular. And
come on.
I will check it every Friday or something. And I'm still going to try to figure out what we're going to do. But if we do like a screenshot of the week, or if we do like a caption contest, then I'll definitely use searching for the Podtacular tag as sources for images. So if you do take a screenshot, tag it Podtacular, and I'll go check them periodically and grab the ones that are available. And depending on what I find up there, we'll figure out something to do on the homepage.
Ermigerd.
So do it. Tag it.
Ermigerd.
Go tag them screenshots.
Ermigerd.
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 Alrighty. It's submission time. So we have a couple of submissions. We didn't actually get one to the question of the week from last week, although we did get a voicemail that answered it.
First.
My question was, what has Dat Tarp done for you? So last week we covered the Majestic Maps in playlist since we did it for Monday Night Matchmaking last week. And one of the things that came out of the live stream that they were using to show off the maps before they got released was kind of the new catch line for the Majestic Map Pack, which is that tarp, which if you guys have played Skyline, there's a tarp on there. And it just kind of exploded from a comment that Bravo and David Ellis had while on the live stream. So that was the first one.
Oh my God.
Of course, one of the big things that came out of that is, it's a tarp!
It's a tarp!
It's a tarp! So, I mean, you had to know that was coming, right?
Did BS Angel use that in a tweet recently? Yeah.
Everyone's used that tweet at some point by now.
Is it? I don't know. Remember, I'm
it's mainstream. That tarp is mainstream now, pretty much.
Is it?
But I have a voicemail here, our first and only voicemail that we've received so far. And it's actually from someone that's in the chat right now. So we're going to go ahead and play it real quick.
Hey, it's GameDude03. I don't really have anything much for that tarp. I mean, couldn't really think of anything, but I have this thing about one time I was playing Spartan House with my cousin a couple weeks ago. We were playing on the one that's complex in one of the episodes, and we were just, you know, doing all the stuff, killing all the Covenant and everything. We got in Ghosts, and I didn't even notice it at the time, but we accidentally ran into each other, and we both exploded and died. It was crazy. But, can't really think of anything else. I hope this, the voice message works and everything, so keep on fragging trucks.
So that was GameDude03, so thank you for calling
in. GameDude!
Yeah. So thanks for calling in, dude.
Why don't you just jump on here, man?
No pun intended. So that's an example of what you can do with our voicemail. You can actually be heard on the show.
Oh my God.
That was a good submission. It was about 55 seconds, so hey, a good length.
Famous. That's your fame.
Yeah. He's famous now. He's famous for running into his buddy and blowing himself up like I think everybody's done before. And that tarp has obviously not done anything for him. But anyways,
I'll tell you, when I got on Podtacular, I actually would be freaking out. I was such a huge. It's weird. I was like, I would listen to you guys in the stock room and stuff when I was stocking shelves, and if I made a submission, I was, oh my God, that brings me back. And then you played it. I was just like, people at work will be like, what's wrong with you?
I'm like, my headphones. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It was awesome.
I think a lot of people have that kind of reaction when they hear their like first submission read on the show or a voicemail played.
Yeah. Well, it's not even, that's what's so awesome about podcasting. It's not even a big show. It's just it comes back to you.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
It is great. That's why I'm here.
I was hoping for...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was hoping for a few more responses to that question, but I guess our audience likes a little bit more serious questions
what
has that tarp done for you?
The serious time is over, okay? We did that already.
I was looking for something like humorous. I was looking for people to go out and just come up with the wackiest things. But
ooh, somebody's challenging you. I got a question.
I think that was a question for the
Podtacular forums.
I think that's a general question out to the chat room.
Okay. So yeah. I thought it was directed at you because it.
Well, it says any of you. It didn't say specifically me. But
all you viewers,
use peoples. I have a feeling it's because the forums are kind of outdated, and that's kind of my fault. I've been working on actually doing stuff like improving the podcast, doing this live stream.
Well, the forum is the podcast now. How about that?
Kind of. I want it to actually be. Granted, that's just how I've managed my time for Podtacular, and it's turned out really well for the podcast, but it hasn't turned out that well for the forums.
Right.
And right now I'm in the middle of writing my Spartan Ops guide, which is taking up just about all my extra time that I have.
I'm not a forum person either, Game Dude, but if I could venture an opinion here, usually a podcast show and their forums, your podcast is your forum. That's what I feel.
There's kind of multiple angles that you can take on that.
Sure.
The forums are more there to kind of facilitate the discussions that are supposed to be evolving in the podcast.
Well, a submission type of area.
Kind of, yeah. And a discussion of topics talked about. But there's such a dissonance now between the podcast and the forums where it's just... Yeah.
It's natural, though.
You can't
handle it all by yourself.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much the point, is because I'm running a bulk of Podtacular.
I know, dude. You can't.
No. But people have stepped up to offer some help, so...
You know what? I love the way the... the Podtacular community is headed.
So but you, it's, but you, it's,
yeah, go ahead.
I do want the forums to get back to a spot where there is some constructive stuff, conversations going on, kind of built around the podcast. How it was back during the Halo 2 and the Halo 3 days when Fumo Jive was doing the podcast. I mean, granted, back then, in the grand scheme of things, Halo comparatively was one of the biggest phenomena out there, so it was easy to have everyone kind of huddle around the podcast and talk about it. It's just going to take some... Oh, we hit double digits on the stream. Yay! Sorry, side tangent. It's just one of those things now where it's going to take a lot of effort from the community side and my side together to actually get that to a place where it's going to be the most effective use of forums that we can offer. And there's some other things that I'm trying to get going as well. Our video series is something I've wanted to work on for a while. And we have the series of campaign, Spartan Ops, and war games that we've been doing. And I've been trying to do accompany videos for those. Granted, I've slacked off over the last month, but all the podcasts for Spartan Ops and campaign will be out finishing this month, and then war games I have some people that I've talked with that we're going to pick that up where we left off. And there's a lot of projects I want to do for Podtackling. It's just finding the time and allocating the resources to do that and prioritizing which ones to take care of. Sorry busy for the man. Side tangent, but that's I guess kind of you're where our community stands.
You're so busy.
Yep. So we're gonna hit some emails. We got two emails for this week. First one comes from Karts. He writes in, "Hey guys, I would like to know if there's anyone else having similar issues as I am. I downloaded the TU and map pack, and I keep freezing after matchmaking games during the black screen, transitioning from the game lobby, and it's saying with the rotating emblem, and it's saving." With the like the little loading thing,
it's kind of nice. I like that rotating thing, but yeah, it's my favorite part of the game.
Wow,
cool effect!
Wow.
Anyway,
I used to simply freeze with no response. Now it prompts that the disc is unreadable. I rarely change discs, and I had the game downloaded since launch. I look for scratches, and the disc is clean. I also tried cleaning my cache, and the issue persists. This is really bothering me as it happens every 3 or 4 games and I need to restart my Xbox or open close the disc tray. Depends if it told me the disc is unreadable. Leaves the group I was, a man short, and I need to wait for another game to end before I can rejoin as it puts a random in my place. I actually haven't heard of many people having issues with game discs for Halo 4. Now, I know I had this issue frequently with Reach, where about every month or so I'd finally get that disc read error. I'd have to uninstall the game and reinstall it, and then it would work for another month or two.
Wow.
I honestly haven't heard.
But I know you already do. You tweeted Halo support. I mean, not Halo support, Xbox support for this issue.
I did, or Karch did.
Well, you have tweeted Xbox support in the past, and you know how it is. Like,
not
why is he coming
that particularly
here
helpful?
It's no, I thought they have actually been pretty good.
Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not.
Time.
Oh yeah, they're good in response time, but their actual like the quality of the responses, it's hit or miss.
I don't think it's their fault either. I think that the software is just simple enough. If it's borked, it's just freaking borked. Like, everything like sometimes just needs to be wiped. It's a console. There's really not much you can do. It's not like a computer. Like, you can wipe files, certain particular files. You know, everything is – there's only so much Xbox support can do. And I feel for them. I think that what they have to go with and the way they handle it is actually the best – one of the best things that Microsoft does. How much can you do with a console? Like, this, you don't have certain codes you could rip out and reinstall software and, you know.
Yeah.
And stuff. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I'm being so good. Being good. Do you know what I mean? So is this something he can, we can direct to Xbox support?
That's something that you can try. They're going to probably tell you to try another game disc or try another console with that game disc and see if the same thing happens.
Jeez.
That's what they told me to do for the Reach one. So okay. If you haven't tried that already, I guess it's worth trying, although it doesn't really make sense.
Well, I'm sorry. I just want to know, with Podtacular, why he came to you with this.
Because we're a Halo podcast?
Well, just because it's a Halo issue, or did he try going to, like, Xbox support, or did he try going, I don't know. I mean, just, did he reach out right to the community?
Possibly. I mean, there's nothing in here that suggests that he would have done Xbox support or not before.
It's not a beef. I'm just kind of curious. It's just, we usually,
are you curious about the workings of the Halo community at large? I mean, we're a giant family, pretty much.
Right. No, I know. I get that. I get that. Even though we have our own. You have a technical support question. I do technical support. So this is the first time on Podtacular that I've seen this kind of submission. That's all.
No, we've seen submissions like this in the past.
Oh, okay.
So it's one of those things where it's, I think it's kind of random sometimes of just compatibility with Xboxes working correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Now having it do that after every three or four games, that's weird. Definitely try. They're gonna ask if you tried anyway. So try another disc. Try using that disc with another console. See if it does the same thing. Like if you have a friend that you know, swap disc ones. And I don't know if this is actually has something to do with the actual War Games packs, but if you installed from disc, maybe try installing the War Games and the Spartan Ops from the marketplace. That might be something you can try. That's all I can say, though. I can't really give much more information past that. Sorry.
I don't have any information for you.
Yeah, Mr. Tech Support, you fail.
I do fail. I'm sorry. I'm at the point where I would actually... I'll just buy a new Xbox.
And there goes your phone again.
Oops, sorry. Oh, that's... Oh, I know why that happened. Oops, sorry.
tisk.
Oh my god, it's gotta be that clean of a show? Like, you can't hear a bidi-bidi-bidi?
You were the one that was grabbing about being a professional podcaster when I was on your last show.
No, I actually would like to hear a quality microphone... And not a quality microphone. I want to be headphones. More the headphones. I think the headphone needs to be more. That microphones are fine. Usually they're fine. And if I can hear stuff in the background, unless it's ridiculousness. But
the headphones are only important when you're actually editing the audio.
Not really. The reason why you hear things.
Really?
Hold on a second.
I'm gonna read the next submission while you
go ahead, yes.
Recover from that burn. David writes in, right. Hey Duststorm, just finished playing Wacky Wednesdays with you guys. I have to say I had a blast. Between Laser Cats and the crazy commentating on Duck Hunt, it was a great time. I've been a longtime listener but never took part in any matchmaking events. I have to give a shout out to the crew who created HaloCustoms.com because it's made it ridiculously easy to join in. Just want to say hi and thank you for the time you put into the podcast. P.S. Sorry for no-scoping you in the face with that binary rifle during Laser Cats. It was all in good fun, I promised. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, so that's the reason for his post. Just, he wanted to tell you he no-scoped you in the face.
There were plenty of people that no-scoped me in the face, I'm sure,
yeah, but
during Laser Cats.
But he was the one who got on his computer and submitted.
That's true.
So, yeah.
I did come in second place, though. Two kills behind the person in first.
That was actually, pretty much the whole post to all the other stuff. I've been a long-time listener, and I played Wacky Wednesday. Hey, I had a great time. Yeah, that's great. He wanted to tell you that he no-scoped you in the face.
And that's perfectly fine.
P.S. He put it as a P.S.
I'm well aware of what he did.
Come on, if I'm not the CEO. And by the way, the headphone thing, I'm coming back to it. The reason why is because when we listen to videos, when I was doing another show, that's why.
Oh, I know. I know. I was giving you a hard time for that. I know.
Are you? I can't. I'm not even busting your ball tonight. You're busting me. I'm trying to be good, and this is what I get. See, this is what I get.
It's all right. Not everyone can be experienced as a veteran podcaster.
As me, yes, I know. I know. You got a lot to learn.
Yes. Yes. We should. Yeah. Anyways,
both all together.
But yeah, Laser Cats was definitely fun last night. I think I'm going to actually upload that video gameplay to YouTube because it was just a blast. And it was literally a game type I made in 5 minutes before. It's like, oh, hey, just stand by, guys. I'm going to make a game type for Laser Cats.
Can we play that after? I haven't played that.
We need to get a sizable party.
How many people you need?
At least, I want to say 8 to 10.
Okay. Chat room?
If the chat room wants to join up afterwards, more than happy to, I guess, yeah.
This is what
I can't, stay on long, but if you guys actually look in our archive, the March 6th Wacky Wednesday, near the end, I want to say probably within the last 45 minutes, you can probably find our Laser Cats game in there. So that would be something to look at. If you're interested in what happened, because you have everyone's voices in there too. Like, you can hear people chatting, you can hear me chatting and everything. So it's going to be a blast from here on out as well. Because we're live streaming all those now. So our Monday Night Matchmakings and our Wacky Wednesdays, we're live streaming. So
everything's live, huh?
Yeah, we're moving to do it live. So, yeah.
I like it. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like live. Wonder why.
Do it live. Okay, so thank you guys for coming out who were on the stream. I think we actually hit 10 people on the stream, although I was one of them, so that
never
doesn't
give out
really count.
Numbers. Just say there's a lot of people.
Well, it's our second time live streaming, so it's all right. It's all right for now.
It's okay.
But we have a good audience. We actually have conversations going in the chat room. I am happy. I am impressed. So definitely, for you guys in the stream, tweet out, Facebook, do whatever. Every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to be doing this. So definitely spread the word, please. It'll be very helpful. And
put people, you know, those people who stand by the side of the road with a sign in their hands.
Oh, dear God.
There's going to be a potacular sign that it says live. Every Thursday, 8 o'clock.
The thing is, like, whenever I run out of my business cards now, I'm going to have to put the Twitch channel on there. So
The guy going to be dressed up in who holds the sign? What should he be dressed up as? A Spartan? No, that's too easy.
No, you give the sign to some homeless guy on the side of the road.
Yeah, but what should the guy, whatever it is, but what should the guy be dressed up as?
I don't know. Does it matter?
A potacular sign. Yes, it does matter.
Why does it matter what the guy is dressed like? As long as it's
for
not
for purposes of discussion on a podcast, that's why.
So it basically have to be something that would not be something categorized as normal or something that you see every day. It
because
would have to be
podtacular
something
is not normal? Is that a reflection of podtacular?
No. If you want the sign to stand out, because they're not more people
are going
to notice a
purposes.
Person. More people
then,
are going to notice a person
well
that's
dressed
oddly
as a puppy
dressed
or a kitten, right? Kitten.
I was thinking more of something like maybe some. I wasn't thinking like animal outfits, but okay, I guess that might work.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, is it relative or?
How do we get on this conversation?
I drive it there.
Well, I am driving it away from there and ending the show. So thank you guys to the live stream for coming out. I appreciate all of you guys out here. I'm going to shout out all of you that I can see. I think there's one person that I don't see in here. But Alice's Pieces, Exiled Ramen, Game Duo 3.
Alice's Pieces, I know your name. I just like to make fun of it. Ermagerd.
A73. 8. 8. 11 something? Tell me how you say your name, dude. The A73L3V something even whoever you are. Sorry, I'm butchering the name. Rommel S.
Buttresses.
And Keith, you're in here.
I'm just so happy to be on Podtacular again. It's just so fun. I'm just really happy to be here. I'm sorry if I'm being a little giddy.
At 11. That's what I think that's what it is. At 11.
Ermagerd.
So those are the ones that are in here that are actually signed in. I think there's two in here that are not signed in, but shout out to you guys.
I'm sorry, I am. I am happy to be on Podtacular once again.
Well, I'm glad you could come on.
I'm being very sincere.
Are you being giddy right now?
No, I'm being very sincere.
All right. It's okay to be giddy. It's
been a while. I don't know what, a couple months?
When was the last show that you were on?
Oh my God. I don't know. It's been a couple months.
I think it's been more than a couple months. I think it's been a few months. But anyways.
Game Dude seems to like it. How do you do that face? What the hell is that?
It's just one of the smileys that are in there.
It's just one of the smiles. It's lame.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode. Remember, you can check us out on our website, podtacular.com.
I miss Brent Gamer, too.
Yes, well, we all miss him tonight. You can check us out on our website. Like I said, you can check us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and then we have our Twitch channel. If you are not listening to this live, you can listen live at podtacular.com/Twitch, which will redirect to our Twitch page. And you can listen to us live on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5 p.m. Central Time, and that's 1 a.m. UTC every Thursday. And then there's going to be the intermediate episodes every now and then, and those are kind of ad hoc. If you have a Twitch account, you can follow us, and you'll receive email updates on when we go live. So I understand that not everyone can make it to those, but if you try to make it to our scheduled ones on Thursdays, that would be oh so helpful. And you can join our crazy discussions as we actually had some tonight. But it was good. They were good discussions. And as always, we definitely enjoy the help from the community, like when we need that answer for the Janus key. So thank you for Alice's Pieces for bringing that to our attention
Alice's
again.
Alice's Pieces. Thank you for being there when Google was not.
Google was there, but it was just easier for him to tell us.
In your convenience, like a convenience store.
Yes. Make sure you check out Monday Night Matchmaking, which happens every Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 1:30 a.m. UTC if you're up that late. And then Wacky Wednesdays is at the same time on Wednesday nights. Next week is going to be the premiere of our Halo 2 Tuesday. So you guys probably know that Halo 2 Vista support is going to be closing out sometime in the June timeframe at the moment. So we are going to be doing Halo 2 game nights starting this next Tuesday, which is March 12th. I'm ahead 2 months. March 12th will be our first Halo 2 game night, and then it's going to be every second and fourth Tuesday up until Halo 2 Vista kicks the can, so to speak. So if you do not have Halo 2 Vista, go out, get a copy. You can probably find a copy at your local computer superstore or something like Best Buy or some other places similar to that. And probably you can find it for $15, if not, buy it on Amazon. It's really cheap. And you can get some achievements for it. There's actually 1,000 gamer score achievements. So if you're looking for ways to bump up your gamer score, that's a pretty good way to do it. There's also going to be some other things coming down the pipeline in terms of podcasts. As we mentioned earlier, we're going to be wrapping up our campaign mini-series and our Spartan Ops mini-series within the month. So check those out, and we will be picking up the War Games ones here shortly. And make sure you call our listener voicemail. As you heard, we had played our first voicemail ever since bringing back the voicemail line. And you can call us at 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256, and leave a Halo-related message. Last thing before we leave is we need a question of the week. So have you read the first two books in the Forerunner saga? And if so, what's your favorite part? And are you excited for Silentium? So it's kind of a two-parter there. So if you've read the first two books, what was your favorite parts in them? And then to wrap that around, how excited are you for Silent Hill? So that's the two-part question for the podcast. Please send us your responses, whether in voicemail format or in the format of an email, on your response to the question of the week. And hopefully we get more than one response this time.
It's a little bit more serious question
than what did that tarp did for you, but
yeah.
I think as far as a question, that's a good question. No, I just had a two-parter. I don't want to confuse the audience as it already is.
Okay.
So, no.
True.
Sorry.
True.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you guys next week. Bye.